Donc, monsieur.
Now, I was raised in church, and as a child, that was a song that we would often sing in church, and we would sing it during children's time and children's classes. I have decided to follow Jesus. Also, a very special song for me. I've told several of you guys here before that that was the first song I ever sang as a solo growing up when I was a kid. I think I was about 4 years old, 4 or 5 years old. And I got in front of the church, and they said, "Do you want us to play with you?" And I actually said, "No, I want a cappella, all right?" And so I sang that song a cappella. I have decided to follow Jesus. And as I've grown, it's become just really apparent to me how powerful that song is. Nate just said a little bit ago, that's a dangerous song to sing. I have decided to follow Jesus. There is no turning back. In fact, that song originates from a region in India, actually. The writer of that song was from India. He gave his life to Jesus Christ. He turned from his cultural religion, and he lost everything. He lost his family. He lost his standing in the community. He lost the importance that he had in that community, but he decided to follow Jesus, and there was absolutely no turning back. And so this very simple children's song is actually a song with a very real gospel message. Whenever we choose to follow Jesus, there really is no turning back. There is no other Lord. There is no other Savior. There is no other meaning. There is no other purpose. We have decided to follow Jesus. There is no turning back. I believe that the enemy, Satan, devil, the accuser, whatever you want to call him, I believe that the enemy does not want us to follow Jesus. The enemy wants us to turn back. The enemy wants to distract us. He does not want you to live with purpose. He does not want me to live with purpose. And he does not want our church to live with purpose. John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus himself says that the thief, which was his metaphor for Satan in that passage, the thief has only come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's what Satan wants to do with our lives. He wants to destroy our purpose. He wants to destroy our impact for God's kingdom. He's going to do this in a variety of ways. He's going to bring temptation into our lives that we thought we had dealt with, we thought we had overcome, but here it rears its ugly head once again. There's going to be times he makes us remember our past mistakes and our past failures, and he wants us to live in that past so that we can't progress forward into the future. There are times he's going to make us so fearful of what is to come that it paralyzes us in the here and now when we make no difference for Jesus right now. The thief has come to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus goes on in John chapter 10, verse 10. He says this, "But I have come that you may have life and have it to the full." You see, the devil wants to destroy our purpose. He wants to distract us. He wants to harm us. But Jesus Christ has come to give us life. Not just life, but life abundantly. Life to the full. Not necessarily an easy life. Not necessarily the life we've always wanted for ourselves. But a life with deep, everlasting meaning and purpose. A life that makes a difference. A life that leaves a legacy. A life that is impactful. Church, this is what you are called to live. This is what I am called to live. We are called to be a people who are living with purpose. No turning back. No matter what happens. No matter what comes our way. Last week, we began looking at the purpose of our church, and this is something I like to do a couple of weeks every year just to stop and focus on the purpose of this church, the purpose of our lives, and we talked about last week how our ultimate purpose is simply to know Jesus and to make him known. That is our identity. Our identity is not wrapped up in what we think about ourselves or what other people think about us. Our identity is wrapped up in what Jesus says about us. Jesus says we are loved. Jesus says we are forgiven. Jesus says we are his people. Jesus wants us to know him and to go out and to make him known. That is our purpose. That is what our life is meant to be about. And the devil is going to try and distract us from this purpose. He is going to try to get us off track. He is going to throw things in our way that distract us and make us just kind of stuck in where we are. But the purpose still remains the same, to know Jesus and to make him known. Now, we've also talked about in our church before, we're going to do this again, that the way we make Jesus known, the way we know Jesus and make him known, is through our four practices. You'll see around our church, we have these four pillars here. We have these four banners that reflect our practices. Our practices as a church, we believe, are praying, giving, learning, and going. Whenever we enact these practices, whenever we live in this way, we know Jesus better and we make him known. These are things we should do as individuals. These are things we should do as families. These are things that our church can do and accomplish together in order to know Jesus and to make him known. This Sunday and the next, what I'm going to do is focus on two of these practices. We're going to focus on two today and two next Sunday. I'm going to issue some very specific challenges on how I believe we as a church can put into practice these four practices in order to know Jesus and to make him known. And so today we're going to look at the practice of praying and the practice of giving, how we need to be a people devoted to prayer, devoted to giving. We need to be radical in this. We need to make this a priority in our lives, and we need to do this as a church. Now, as we look at these two practices this morning, I want to ask you to turn with me to a book in the Bible that is really very exciting to read. I encourage you to read it sometime. It's the book of Acts. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. I want to read this description of the early church in the book of Acts, and we're going to use this as kind of our base of operations, if you will, to look at how we need to put into practice certain habits into our own lives. But let's go ahead and pray. Let's go ahead and read Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, and then we'll pray and ask God to guide us into his word. The Bible says, "They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much that we are allowed to gather this morning as the people of Christ, as the church of God, in order to study your word. Father, I just pray that this would not be something we take lightly. I pray it's not something that we would simply just do and then leave and forget about. But Father, I pray that as we look at your word, as we study your word, that you would really change us, that you would help us to live with purpose. Father, I will be the first to admit that I know this past week for me has been so distracting. It's been so difficult to live with purpose this week. And there have been times I've failed and I've made mistakes, but Father, your purpose still stands. You have called us to know you and to make you known. And so, Father, I pray that we would rest in your grace today, that we would choose to act on that purpose that you have given us. Father, as we look today at prayer and giving, I just pray that you would challenge our hearts, that you would help us to make these habits truly just part of who we are, that we would be a praying people, that we would be a giving people, and that through that people would see your grace more clearly. Father, I need you to work in my life. I need you to speak to me today. I need you to make yourself real today, to guide me. And I want you to do that in our church as well. I pray this would not simply be another service, but this would be a true encounter with the God of this universe. Guide us into your word. Speak to us. Challenge us. Make us new. We pray this in Christ's name, and all God's people said, amen. Now, as I said, the book of Acts is really a very exciting book to read. It's a follow-up to Luke's gospel. It kind of tells part two of the gospel of Luke. It's written by Luke himself, and it tells how Jesus Christ formed his church, and it shows how Jesus was continuing to act in his church through the power of the Holy Spirit after he had ascended into heaven. You see, it's called the book of Acts, not because we are acting or not because the church is acting, but because Jesus himself is the one that is acting. Jesus himself is the one who is still at work in his body that is called the church. We see very early on in the book of Acts that the apostle Peter, he gets in front of this great crowd of Jews. There's about 3,000 people there. He preaches, and 3,000 people give their lives to Jesus Christ that day. He convincingly shows them that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the one who was sent by God. He performed miracles. He died on a cross. He rose from the grave in order that we might be saved. And 3,000 people gave their lives to Jesus Christ. The passage that we just read, chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, follows up on this great conversion. It follows up on this great preaching. And it shows how these people not only made a decision to follow Jesus, they didn't just attend a church meeting, but they actually changed the very fabric of their community. It changed who they were as a people. And because they gave their lives to Jesus Christ, because they recognized the purpose that God had given them, they actually formed this community that they called the church. And this was a dynamic, spirit-led, empowering, personal, impactful community that truly made a difference. Now, sometimes we as modern Christians can kind of look back on the church at Acts, and we kind of look at the church at Acts with rose-colored eyes, and we think that everything they did in Acts was perfect. Everything they did was absolutely perfect. They never made any mistakes, and that's not true. If you look throughout the book of Acts, these Christians were just like you and I. They were people who made mistakes. They were people who got in arguments. They were people who sometimes didn't want to do ministry to people that were different from them. But through it all, the Holy Spirit was working in their lives. And as they met together as a community, as they studied the Word of God, as they prayed together, as they gave, the Holy Spirit changed them into a very unique and special people that really is a great example for us. We are not perfect. We make mistakes. We do things wrong. And yet we are the very people that God wants to use to make an impact in the here and now. We have purpose. We have been called together for this purpose, and we need to be devoted to the practices of prayer and to giving. Now, there's so many different things that we could look at in this particular passage. Man, we could talk about the great fellowship they had. We could talk about their worship experience. But I want us to focus this morning on two elements in this passage. The Bible says they were devoted to prayer, and they gave sacrificially. They gave to one another. So let's first of all talk about prayer. Let's talk about how they were devoted to prayer. My Bible says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Let's talk about that word devoted for just a minute. What does that mean? What does it mean to be devoted to prayer? This word can also be translated, they were faithful to prayer. They were faithful in it. No matter what came up, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what arose, they were faithful to do this. This was something they did daily. This was something they did individually. This was something they did as a group. They were faithful in this. Now, they may have not always been perfect in it, but they were faithful in it. They were consistent in this practice of prayer. This word can also mean that they persisted in prayer. When an obstacle came up, they persisted in prayer. When a difficulty arose, they persisted in this practice. When they were tempted, they faced that temptation with persistent prayer, relying on Jesus Christ, relying on his presence. You see, prayer was such an important aspect of their community. It bound them together as the body of Christ, and it empowered them to go out and to do the work of Christ. Man, if you look throughout the book of Acts, the churches in the book of Acts are praying churches. They relied very heavily on prayer. In fact, there's basically three different ways that the church in Acts was praying. First of all, they prayed for guidance. Whenever they were making a decision, whether it was a leadership decision or they were trying to make a decision within their community, they stopped and they prayed. Instead of jockeying for their own opinion and instead of trying to get their own way across, they all stopped and they prayed, and they said, God, you guide us, you direct us, you show us the path forward. They prayed for guidance. The book of Acts also says that the church in Acts prayed for strength. They recognized that they could not do the work of God in their own power. They didn't rely on their education. They didn't rely on their skill sets. They didn't rely on anything but prayer, they basically said, Jesus, we need you to work in us because we can't do this on our own. We can't stand against persecution. We can't stand against temptation. We can't stand against these struggles on our own. We need you to empower us and strengthen us. And so they went to God and asked for those things in prayer. We also see in the book of Acts that they prayed for missions. They prayed for the gospel to go forth. They prayed for the gospel to not only stay within their own community, but to go to all the nations. They started out in Jerusalem, then they went to Judea, then they went to Samaria, and by the end of Acts, Paul is all the way in the city of Rome, to the ends of the earth in that day, and he is preaching the gospel while in prison. And so they prayed that the gospel would go forth, that missions would advance, that the word of God would spread. They prayed because that's all they could do. That's the only strength they had. That's the only thing they could rely on. There's a scholar by the name of Mark Strauss, and Mark Strauss says that prayer was the lifeblood of the church. If it was the lifeblood of the church in the book of Acts, it should be the lifeblood of the church today. This past summer, of course, we took a team and we went to South Asia, and I really saw this practice of prayer being the lifeblood of the church really lived out and fleshed out in real life. We were in cities at time in South Asia where there might have not been any believers. We were in one city of 1 million people and had 83 believers. Can you imagine that? A city of 1 million people with 83 believers. The church in this South Asian country was a poor church. It was a church without resources. We didn't have very many resources. We didn't have very many abilities. But you know what we could do? We could pray. And so we came together and we prayed. We prayed before we went and ministered in villages. We prayed before and after and during when we were having Bible studies. We met together and I saw believers come together in little bitty tin buildings with dirt floors, and they're sitting on this floor in the 90-something, 100-something degree heat, and what are they doing? They are praying. They are dedicated to prayer. You see, in this country, in South Asia, I almost said the word, and I'm not supposed to say it because it's being recorded. Oops. In South Asia, what we saw was this: prayer and other believers was enough. That was all the church needed. That's all they needed. And I'm sorry, but the church in America is not that way. Prayer and each other is not enough. We have to have the right music. We have to have comfortable buildings. We have to have the best preacher. We have to have the best programs. We have to be entertained. The church in America has forgotten that prayer and each other are enough. That's all we need, guys. That's what we need to do the work of God. That's what we need to make an impact in this community. We need prayer and we need one another. The church in South Asia saw that. The church in the book of Acts saw that. The growing church in South America and Latin America and Africa and Asia, the church that is exploding by leaps and bounds, they see that. Prayer and one another, that's enough. It's not about comfort. It's not about what I want. It's not about my opinions. It's not about the right Bible translation. It's not about whatever I think church is important. It's not about that. It's about prayer and one another. That's all we need. And so I want to challenge us this morning to be a people of prayer. And there's many different ways we could do this. You know, husbands and wives, we need to be praying together. We need to stop and we need to pray together daily. We need to be praying with our children. Sunday school classes, we need to be dedicating time to prayer. Families need to be praying. Individuals need to be praying. We need to set aside time daily to pray. We need to be looking for opportunities in our community to pray for Christians and non-Christians. We need to be praying that God would send his workers into the harvest, that missions would go forth. We need to be dedicated to prayer. There's so many different ways that we could do this. I want to focus this morning, though, specifically on one thing I think we as a church body can do to really be dedicated and devoted to the practice of praying. I want to issue you a challenge this morning. I challenge you to meet with us on Wednesday nights. Now that may sound fairly simple, but I challenge you to meet with us on Wednesday nights, because on Wednesday nights we not only study scripture, but we spend 20 to 30 minutes together praying. We spend time praising God. We spend time lifting up needs in this church. You have probably been prayed for on a Wednesday night. We pray for persecuted Christians. We pray for the gospel to go forth. And I'm here to tell you, the most important time of the week for this church is Wednesday night prayer meeting. Because that's where God works, and that's where we pour our hearts out to Him, and that's where we rely on His Spirit to work. Be here on Wednesday nights to pray. Now, I recognize that some people work on Wednesday nights, and you can't really change that. If you don't work on Wednesday night, why aren't you here? Think about that for a moment. Why are you not here? Why are you not here praying? Why are you not here lifting up others in need? Why are you not here praying for the advance of the gospel? I want to challenge you to be here at church on Wednesday nights. Not because it makes me look good as a preacher, not because it makes our Wednesday night program look great. I just want to challenge you to be here and to pray with other Christians. You might say, yeah, but I can pray at home. Yes, you can. Please do that as well. But be here Wednesday night too. Because when we come together and when we pray with other Christians, I believe that God does something great in our midst. And so I challenge you this morning to be a church dedicated to prayer. And one way we can do that is by meeting together on Wednesday nights and by praying. I could probably stop there. I think that's a pretty good place to stop, but we're going to go on. So we need to be a people dedicated and devoted to prayer. The Bible also goes on here in Acts chapter 2, and it says in verses 45 and 46 that they sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. What we see in this passage is that they were not only dedicated to prayer, but they were dedicated to giving. They were giving of their resources in order to meet needs and spread the gospel in their community. Now, there have been times when people read a passage like this, and we as capitalist Americans read a passage like this, and we're kind of uncomfortable because that kind of looks like socialism, or that kind of looks like communism. And I don't really think that's fair to kind of basically say what the church was doing was practicing socialism or communism. This was an ancient practice. It's not really related to these modern political terminologies, but we can definitely see this was not capitalism. We can definitely see this was something very, very different happening in the church community than was happening at the church in large. So why were they so dedicated to giving? Why were they focused on this? You see, they were giving, number one, because they were family. That's why they were so radical in this. Why, this is why they were so dedicated to this. They were empowered by the Holy Spirit. They were a people of prayer, and they began to look at each other and say, we are family. And family takes care of each other, and we love one another, and we share our possessions, and we share our goods so that we can further each other and help each other grow in the gospel. And so they gave because they were basically based on family. This was not just a one-time practice. We see over in chapter 4 that this, again, this description is given of the church. They loved each other so much. They were so close. They were so empowered by the Spirit that they freely gave of their possessions to help people who were in need. You know what that means, guys? We have been blessed so we can bless others. We have what we have, not because of how good we are, not because of how skilled we are, not because of how much money we have. We have what we have because a good God has blessed us. And this good God has blessed us so that we can bless other people. And so we use what we have to bless others. How can I use my car for ministry? How can I use my bank account for ministry? How can I use my home for ministry to help other people? We have been blessed so that we can bless others. And this is because we are the family of God. We also see throughout the book of Acts that this giving was voluntary. It wasn't forced. It wasn't forced by church leaders. It wasn't forced by the government. That's what makes it different from socialism or communism. It was voluntary. The church wanted to do this. They wanted to give up their means. They wanted to use what God had blessed them with to bless other people. It was completely 100% voluntary. We also see that this giving was incredibly sacrificial. They didn't give simply because they had so much. You know, sometimes we give and we make a donation to Resale Barn because we've got so much junk anyway and we just need to get rid of it. And so we take it to Resale Barn. Then we feel good about ourselves because we gave. But what we were really doing was giving out of our abundance. The church in the book of Acts gave because it was right, whether they had abundant need or not. They simply gave. It was sacrificial. So giving was based on family. Giving was voluntary. Giving was sacrificial. It was empowered by the Holy Spirit. There's a scholar by the name of Gerhard Krodel, and he said, what we do or do not do with our material possessions is an indicator of the Spirit's presence or absence in our lives. Man, that's convicting. What I do or do not do with my possessions is an indicator of the Spirit's presence in my life. There are many times in the Gospels where Jesus will approach people and he'll say, sell all you have and give to the poor and follow me. He meant that. He meant that. We kind of explain that away in our own culture and we say, yeah, but he didn't, he just meant that for them or he meant that for that person, but he didn't really mean that radical style. He meant that. He meant this radical, sacrificial, giving spirit where we always use what we have in order to help other people. And the early church took that call seriously to give up their possessions and to follow him. So here's my challenge. And it's a simple challenge. And by the way, I don't like making this challenge. I'm about to talk about money. I don't like talking about money. There have been very, very few times here at this church where I have ever talked about money. Because I don't ever want to make the appearance that I need a raise, because I don't. I don't ever want to make the appearance that the church is floundering, because we're not. I don't want to make this challenge and this giving challenge in order to try to enhance myself. I just want to do it because Scripture says we need to be people who are dedicated to giving. That's it. And the more we give, the more ministry can be done. So I want to challenge you this morning. This is a very, very simple challenge. Can you give an extra $10 a month? That's it. If you are already tithing, can you give 10 more dollars? If you are not tithing right now, can you give at least $10? Now, why $10? This was just a number I kind of came up with. I thought about it this way. Say there's 100 people in this room. Do you realize if we give 10 more dollars a month, that's $12,000 extra dollars a year to do ministry? $12,000 just from an increase of $10 a month. I want you to think about that for a moment. 13% of what we give in this church comes off the top and goes directly to missions. It plants church in our community. It plants church in Texas. It plants churches nationally and internationally. 13% of the money given off the top automatically goes to missions. Other money that is given goes to support ministries. It goes to pay our salaries, which I'm very thankful for that, by the way. It allows us to do more missions and giving and ministry if we invest in the church and give. And I'm here to tell you, $10, that's two Starbucks coffees. Or one, depending on what you get. Two Starbucks coffees a month. Can you give that up? Give $10 and invest in the ministry of the church. I challenge you to do that this morning. I challenge you. And if you want to give more, by all means, do that. But the more we give, the more we invest in our church, the more ministry that can be done in this community. So I challenge you to give at least 10 more dollars a month. So how can we be more devoted to prayer and to giving? I've issued a few challenges this morning. God may be speaking in your own heart, and God may be challenging you in a different direction. But let's be more dedicated to these practices, because when we pray, when we give, we know Jesus better and we make him known. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? So how can you be more dedicated to prayer? Let's think about that this morning. I've already challenged you to come to prayer group on Wednesday nights. I encourage you to do that. There are many other ways you can pray and be dedicated to that. Husbands, are you praying with your wives? Families, are you praying together? Are you looking for opportunities as you're going throughout your day to pray for people? Are you praying for the spread of missions? Are you praying for persecuted Christians around the globe? How are you praying? I don't want to pretend like I've got this all down and I'm perfect at this. I know this last week. In fact, I was talking with Angela about this earlier. We try to pray together every single day, and I noticed this past week that we skipped it almost every single day. Why did I do that? Could it be that Satan is trying to distract me and get me off focus? We need to return to our focus to be a praying people. So how can you be more dedicated to prayer? How can you be more dedicated to giving? What has God blessed you with that you can bless other people with? Is there someone in this church that you can help minister to Is there a ministry that you can support? Can you give $10 more a month to invest in the ministry of this church? And again, I can't sit here and say I'm always perfect on this. Man, I can be so selfish. And I can get so sucked into our materialistic culture and think that life is really about getting the new thing or getting that or getting this. It's not. It's about giving. It's about promoting missions. It's about spreading the kingdom of God with the gifts that we have been given. So how can you be more dedicated to the practice of giving? I know I've been very, very convicted about these two things this past week. And, you know, I want my life to make an eternal impact. I want to leave a legacy. I want to make a difference. And I don't always live up to that ideal. But through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can all make a true difference. So how can you be more dedicated to praying and giving this morning? Now, I don't know, there may be other decisions that need to be made. Maybe you just want to come to the front and pray with me. I'd be glad to do that. Maybe you have questions about what it means to become a Christian or how to join this church, or you have questions about baptism. Man, catch me after the service. Let's talk about that. Let's have lunch this week and talk about that and really spend some time praying about that and looking at that. Let's let God work in our lives this morning. The band is going to play for a few more moments. Spend some time in prayer right now. Pray for your families right now. Pray for myself. Pray for Nate. Pray for this church. Pray for your Sunday school teacher. Pray for, lift up praise to God right now. Spend some time praying to Him. And then I want to ask you to pray a really difficult prayer. Jesus, what do you want me to give to further your kingdom? Maybe it's more time, maybe it's talents, maybe it's resources, I don't know. But pray, Jesus, show me what I can give to further your kingdom. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Just continue in prayer. And again, if you need to come to the front and pray with me about a situation or something going on in your life, I'll be glad to do that as well. Father, we just thank you so much that you love us, that you have given us your Son, Jesus. You've given us salvation. You've given us hope. And Father, you've given us purpose. You've given us value. We have value because you say we have value. Father, I just pray that we would live our lives based on your lordship, on your values, and what what you say life is all about. God, I am so distracted at times and so materialistic at times. I get sucked into just living the life that culture says I should live, that advertisers say I should live. Father, I just pray that you would reverse that trend in me, that you would reverse that trend in our church. I pray that our church would be a people of prayer, that we would be people who pray individually, that we would pray together, that we would lift up needs, that we would lift up praise, that we would pray for missions, that we would not be content with our current prayer lives. God, I just pray that through that prayer, you would empower us and make us new people. And Father, help us to be a giving church. I thank you, God, because down through the almost century that this church has been here, there have been just thousands upon thousands of dollars given to help spread your word, to plant churches, to help church members, to help people in the community. Thank you for that. And I just pray that we all would be a people who invest in our church with our time, with our talents, with our resources, that we would invest in your kingdom, that we would radically give so that the gospel can go forth. There are billions of people around the globe who have never heard your name. And through our resources and through our giving and through our prayer, we can share Jesus with them. And so challenge our hearts. Help us to see what our purpose truly is. We love you, Father. Thank you again for loving us. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said. We're going to have our gentlemen come forward at this time for our offering.
Father, we love you, and we're very grateful that you have formed into us the body of Christ, and it is a revelation to us that you have the power to do that, to infuse us with your Spirit and to teach us and to grow us into the body that you want us to be. And it includes principles directly from your scripture. I pray that it'll impact us in a way that changes us. Now we turn our attention to giving. Pray that we'll give it with a newness from Neil's teaching, a freshness, and it'll be generous and cheerful according to your teaching. In Christ's name, amen.